Welcome to the Bond Brain. And now, without further ado, here's your host, Bud West.
So, to further our discussion, or my discussion, over Bond skills, as you guys all know, I'm not an expert in everything, and I love to bring people onto the podcast that have a level of knowledge that far surpasses mine. I think it's better off for people to hear it that way. So, for that Bond skill that we know he has in movie after movie after movie, and that is to fly an airplane, to actually be a pilot, and what it takes to get to that level, I would like to welcome to the Bond Brain, YouTube's That One Bond Guy, Christopher Morales. Welcome aboard, man. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my goodness, Bud. I know it's been a long time coming, but it's such an honor to be on the channel. What you have been doing has been amazing. I can remember first joining Instagram and YouTube, and you were one of the first podcasts that I started really deep diving into. Now to be a part of it, it's so exciting. So thank you so much for having me on and being part of the series.
Thanks. I know we haven't spoken in a while, and I know you've had a long journey to get to where you're going. As a matter of fact, I think you were just starting when we first spoke.
Right. Yeah. I often tell people it's kind of crazy because when I first started Instagram, I think it was right when I finished Skyfall. Oh my God. When I finished high school, and my brain's always Bond or piloting. There you go. That gives you an example. But it was right after high school ended, and I was starting to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. I knew it was going to go down the aviation route, but what exactly did I want to do? And then it just hit me. It's like, you know what? I want to go and I want to do it and I want to be a pilot. Bond has so many instances where he flies an aircraft, not so much in the literary Bond, but more so in the cinematic Bond, which is kind of cool. And definitely that's where I got more of my Bond media source from, was from the films. So I was like, you know what? If Bond can do it, I can do it. It's one of those things that we know Bond is very skilled in different aspects of life, and being a pilot is one of them. And so I went ahead, went forth, and started my journey.
And it's not just Bond that inspired you to be a pilot, right? There's something else there too, isn't there?
Right. Yeah. And so, like I said, I was figuring out what exactly I wanted to do in aviation, and that kind of stems off from my family, because my grandfather, he actually was in Seattle working for Boeing on the first 747 in the 60s. He was a riveter, who would go and rivet all the plane pieces together. And eventually, once the prototype was done, which you can still go and see at the Boeing Museum in Seattle, it was a huge accomplishment. And the history that came from travel and because of that 747, you know, it's such a gorgeous aircraft that has an illustrious history. And then my father, who currently still works for the airlines, he's been working since the early 90s as a flight attendant. So I've been able to be blessed to experience that kind of lifestyle of traveling within different airports, going to go and travel and to different states and across different countries and stuff. And I just fell in love with that community, because it's a community of its own, you know, the aviation world.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah.
And like the Bond community, what I've come to find is that they're so supportive, especially with new young pilots, with the shortage going on right now. I mean, they keep telling me I've come at a perfect time. So a lot of great things coming out, for sure. But those are kind of my inspirations. I mean, it's always been in my blood and it's always been around me. It's just, it took a second for me to realize what exactly I wanted to do to leave my mark. I know I have applied to many scholarships, and one thing I recommend, which we'll get in, I'm sure we'll get into, on how to, if you want to get to become a pilot, how to do it, is just looking for scholarships. And one thing that I kept saying in all my scholarship interviews is that I get to carry the honor of those who have done so much before me and continue the legacy of aviation. And that is something that motivates me to go and continue my training, especially during the hard days and the tough days, and realize, you know, I have such a huge honor put upon myself to continue this wonderful career and wonderful industry that was created through the blood, sweat, and tears of people before me. So it's definitely a huge aspect of my life, as you know. Definitely a lot of Bond influence, and just excited to bring you guys along with the journey. That's the main part, you know. My Instagram and YouTube is a lifestyle James Bond lifestyle, but at the same time, very much so following along my aviation career journey.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of us do. We take things that are our passions, our hobbies, that just have a link into the world of Bond. I mean, for me, it's games. You know, for some people, it's products and stuff like that. And for you, it's the piloting. And I actually have a ton of conversations with a guy at my cigar lounge. His name is Chip, and he's a charter pilot on for a corporation around here. So I get all these great airplane stories, but I never really got, you know, his life story and how he got started on this. So you start this right out of high school. You're a young buck. You're going to make your mark. That's pretty cool, man.
Thank you. Yeah. So first thing was first, you know, figuring out where I wanted to go college wise, that kind of pertain to my major, and if not exactly my major, what skill sets would help me.
Okay.
In the future. So I started actually at community college, and luckily at Sacramento Community College here in Sacramento, California, they have a flight technology program, 2-year program. Knocked that out. It was actually a very extensive program. It was, I think, it was a total of eight classes in less than a normal semester. So I was doing, basically, it was an impacted schedule. So every other week, it was either a midterm or a final, because we had to fit a total of like 18 classes within 2 years, right? So it was, was on top of that, I was doing my general education to knock that out as well. So I was pulling maybe 18 to 21 units, which is a lot, especially when it came to the aviation aspect, because there's so much to learn. So I did, you know, my private pilot ground course, which was one of the classes, all the way up into my commercial ground school, which is, you know, again, the community college really helped with the basic knowledge, the basic book knowledge. At this point, I didn't do any flying just yet. It was all book knowledge. And then there was a few classes with aircraft systems, regulations, crew resource management. So a lot of great skills. And I was really appreciative to do that. And then once I graduated from there, you know, I got my associates in flight technology. Then I used all of those credits and then transferred to a 4-year university where I pursued my bachelor's in aviation itself. And there I was actually able to join up with the school and its partner flight school to start flying and building up my hours, actual physical flying, which was really cool. A lot of the classes at that 4-year were covered because I did it at the JC, which was really cool. So it really, the four-year university got cut down to 2. And so I was able to just focus on all my flying. And that's how in 2 years now, it's crazy to think, I'm finishing up my commercial license, which a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know how you did it. And I don't know how you're still alive, because it's such a grind. But it was, you know, it's just a lot of hard work and dedication, a lot of flight hours, a lot of back-to-back flights. Like, you know, it was tough, because this flight school is about 30 minutes from the university campus. So we'd have to drive 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. And doing that day after day after day does get draining. But, you know, at the end, it's so worth it. And when you hold that certificate up after your check ride, like my private pilot check ride, you know, it was one of the biggest accomplishments in my life, because of all the hard work that you have to go through. And I'm sure the pilots that you speak to at the Cigar Lounge can attest that, you know, with all the amount of hours and the training that goes into it, it is one of the greatest feelings you can have outside of, you know, having your firstborn child. I'm sure I haven't gone that route yet, maybe in the future, but I'm sure it's almost as equally as that, because of all the hard work that you put into it. But no,
then 18 years later, Chris, they come home and they drink all your beer and then they go back to college.
Maybe I'll stick to the piloting route, I guess. No, right. But that's kind of how it was in a nutshell, you know, and I'm very thankful along the way. Of course, like I said, there's many opportunities, because financially it is tough. Becoming a pilot is tough. It is very expensive.
Oh, it is not cheap. Yeah, yeah. The amount of time and the amount of money to get into some of that, even as a hobby, even, you know, you're going the commercial route. That's a whole other, you know, you're looking at a paycheck in the end. But even as a hobby, insanely expensive.
Yeah. But there are so many resources I've come to find out there. AOPA, which is a pretty, it's general aviation, but it's pertaining to all the pilots. A great resource. It's a website, it's a newsletter, you can sign up. They have renter's insurance, they have all these great seminars online, safety seminars through the FAA. so many great resources and scholarship opportunities. Scholarships was a huge thing in helping me get to where I am now, because quite honestly, without the scholarships, it would have been really tough. I recommend anyone who's wanting to go and get started becoming a pilot, it's just to do your research, look up different scholarships, because now more than ever, becoming a pilot is so critical that the industry is needing it so bad that there are even programs out there that will pay for your training. Smaller programs through the bigger airlines, like American Airlines has a cadet program. United just came out with a cadet program called United Aviate. And I think there's some other airlines that are putting things into work because of the pilot shortage. So the opportunities are aplenty. So even though it is a kind of like, it's very expensive financially, the opportunities and the help is there. You just have to go out, be proactive, and look for it, which is one thing I had to learn at the very beginning.
Oh, how to hunt that stuff. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what you're taking in college. There's scholarships really for everything, but it does take a ton of work to hunt these things down. And then, you know, in some cases, it's bad in the respect that, you know, if you're like the child of a successful family, you don't qualify for as much financial aid as other situations. So you go through all this hassle to fill out all these forms and find out you're not going to get anything. So that can kind of discourage some people. It's a shame, but, you know, it can. Now, the thing is, though, that your education will never end, will it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to, you have to certify on every aircraft, correct?
Oh, yeah. So right now I'm a private pilot, and then I just last April passed my instrument check ride, instrument allowing me to, you know, fly in inclement weather.
Right.
Where you can't see outside the aircraft. Basically, I don't look outside. Throughout that whole training, we had these really cool glasses we called foggles that made everything outside blurry, and we could only see there's little windows that you could see only the instruments. And that's how every flight went. Like every flight lesson, all I could use to fly was looking at the instruments.
Wow.
And that's what trained you to be prepared if you were to go in some bad weather, or if you get to an airport and there's fog, you know, learning how to approach the airport using like an ILS system, which is an instrument landing system, which you literally get down to the airport using your instruments, learning how to input that into the GPS or how to interpret the instruments. What I just finished up. So I passed that check ride. So I'm a private pilot with an instrument rating. And now finishing up commercial, you know, you have to do a certain amount of hours cross country and a lot of maneuvers. So you're basically putting both of those together. So private pilot instrument comes together with a little bit more in depth, and the minimums for the check ride for commercial are a lot smaller, because you got to be precise. You're going to be flying and being paid for it, right? So you're going to want to have this, your skills to be set. And once you get there, once you get past there, you can apply for different either smaller charter airlines or like smaller cargo airlines, which I'm thinking about going down that route, just start off with cargo so I can build up hours. So you got to build up your hours up to 1500 hours, which kind of a sidetrack. If you go through a Part 141 school, which is what I went through, and you go through their curriculum, you actually get a reduced ATP, which is your airline transport, basically the 1500 hour rule.
Okay.
You get reduced if you go through a 4-year 141 school. So I got 250 hours reduced overall from that 1500, just because I did the 2 years. If I went the full 4 years, say I didn't go to the JC, students would get 500 hours reduced. So it's a great deal, and it's great incentive, because it ultimately cuts down the hours that you would have to do. So it saves you money. You know, it helps out in the long run. But so, yeah, I get those 250 reduced, and the goal is just to get right now to 1500. I've heard that there's talks within the FAA that because of the pilot shortage, that 1500 hour requirement may reduce a little bit. We don't know exactly to how much it's going to be reduced, but it's going to be reduced, which is going to get more pilots through the door, at least to be able to get hired and start training with those big aircrafts. Because, yeah, like you said, each aircraft you have to be certified in, whether it's small CRJ jet, you have to be checked out in that. Or if it's the 777, you have to have a certain amount of hours in the simulator and pass all of those check rides. And then once you get in, you have to, like annually or whatever, you have to go back to training and you have to get checked again.
You never
stop learning. There's always stuff that's new and coming up, especially with the advancement in avionics and technology. There's always some new things to learn when it comes to aviation. But the cool thing is too about it, it's like when you first start, even if it's a small Piper like I'm used to flying, all the way up to like a 747, the aerodynamics are typically the same. Like aviation, they call it redundancy. The thing in aviation, the important thing about it is redundancy. It's like, you know, if you're going to turn bank to the right, you should experience the same thing for most aircraft, you know, unless it's an experimental aircraft, whatever. But for the majority of aircraft, at least the ones that we're used to, you should feel the same aerodynamics. And that's what the overarching thing of being a pilot is understanding the aerodynamics. And because if you can understand aerodynamics in one aircraft, it'll be typically the same in other aircrafts, you know. Bigger aircrafts may take a longer time to take off, or, you know, depending on the speeds of the aircraft, how powerful they are, it'll be a little different. But essentially, you're all flying planes, and the aerodynamics are built, and each aircraft is built to have that redundancy, mainly because for emergencies, you're going to need to know what to do if an engine fails, you know, in each aircraft. And what are you going to do? One thing we were taught, little piloting 101 here real quick, but each aircraft has a set speed that you have to pitch for, you know, pitching meaning nose up or down.
Nose up, to
maintain that speed. And you'll be it's called the best glide speed. So if your engine goes out and you don't have any power, you pitch for that speed, and you have the best overall distance over time to get where you need to go. And you're basically a big glider at that point.
Okay.
So that's one thing that they teach right off the bat. As soon as you get into an emergency situation, pitch for best glide. And every aircraft, no matter how small or how big, has a set speed for that. And so that's that redundancy what we were talking about, you know.
And that's going to be based on the center of gravity of the aircraft, isn't it?
Weight balance, center of gravity, all that stuff. So as you can see, there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of stuff that has been learned over these past 4 years. But, you know,
right. It
all comes down to the whole redundancy and the whole fine tuning of being a pilot. You're always going to, if you're able to explain it and be able to demonstrate it, then for the majority of your career, you're going to be set. It's not like a lot of things, and I'm just pulling for an example, but like in the IT world or the computer world, where you're going to have to go into training and learn a whole new system or like a whole new computer system, you know?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. being a pilot, great thing is, it's like, it's all familiar. You know, it all is stemming from the basic concepts of aerodynamics and flight controls and whatnot. So that's one thing I love about it. It's because, you know, you can relate to so many people. You know, outside of that, you know, there, of course, new designs and stuff are coming out. And the whole talks about the unmanned aircraft or using computers to fly, you know, cutting down the pilots from 2 to 1. You know, all that stuff's future, and they're still working on it. But for the time being, like, I honestly believe nobody can replace an actual pilot, because the skill sets it takes to get there, it's through experience and hard work. So we'll see. The future, I'm sure, holds a lot of interesting things. But for now, you know, I say that, you know, pilots are one of the most, like, they're, I'd like to say, we're a small percentage of the community, you know, of the world population, because it takes so many steps to get to where we need to get to.
So. Oh, the amount of education and the amount of time you have to put in. I mean, even talking about like the 1500 hours. I mean, every time you go up, what are you up there? Like 3-4 hours?
Just about that. Yeah.
Right. So three, four hours. So accumulate 1500 hours
right. In
3-4 hour intervals. That's really, you know, the huge challenge. It is. It just seems like, you know, an amazing amount of work, amazing amount of brain power. I don't know how many guys when I was younger would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go fly F-18s or fly this or fly that. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way in the world this guy's going to do this. Like, he can't drive a car to school without crashing it. Nobody's putting you behind the stick. But
and don't get me wrong. I mean, there are definitely amazing moments, especially when you're just starting out. For example, like when I got my private pilot's license, it opened up a whole new door of going and seeing some amazing things and going to experience some amazing things. My favorite thing to do with my friends is we leave my home airport and we go about 45 minutes an hour, depending on the winds, of course. And we land at this airport where we literally park the plane, walk a few hundred feet off the airport, grab a burger and ice cream, hang out, and then come back and fly back home. Like that's like
I have done that exact same thing. I used to work with a guy. He was Civil Air Patrol. He had to get his hours in. Yeah. We used to split the fuel. We would fly to the beach, get burgers, look at we would go to this little airport that had a little historic display. We'd walk around. We'd hop in. He'd fly me back. It was a great day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's such a great. It's so much fun. And those are the moments that. And memories that you make that you can be so thankful that you put all the hard blood, sweat, and tears into. And then looking forward to the possibilities of the careers that are going to be opening up too. It's an amazing industry. It says a lot about individuals that have gone through it. I mean, living through experience. I mean, like you said, the amount of hours and knowledge that we've had to attain, and then the study for check rides. I mean, oh my gosh. Studying up for check rides, and I'm sure every pilot can attest to this, it's one of the most stressful moments, at least a couple months leading up to that. So it's because you're paying a certain amount of money for, you know, an examiner to come out, right? And you get examined, and it's a one and done. If you do it, you pass. If not, then you got to do it again. So there's definitely a lot of stress into it. But once you pass it, man, doors open up. Opportunities are plenty, and it's so well worth the time and brain power. But make sure also too, I like to tell a lot of the new students that are coming into my university, because I'm still kind of tied to the university. I'm kind of like a guest speaker at times. I kind of help with orientation and whatnot, which is kind of cool. And I tell them, you know, make sure you study, but also take some time to just not think about it. Because if you study, you're going to burn out, and that's when knowledge won't start staying in your brain. You know, you gotta take a day or two after really going at it and take a breather. Like too much of everything or anything could be bad for you, right? So like you don't.
Oh yeah, it's the same way. You got to step away. Yeah.
Same thing too with flying. You don't want to push yourself to fly 7 days a week. I know you want to get those requirements done and try to get that check right out of the way, but think about the human factor part of it. And that's a huge part of aviation and being a pilot. See, it's human factor. You don't want to fly in airplane fatigue. You don't want to fly thinking that you're okay, but really you're not, or you're feeling some allergies and you still go up and fly. There's so many things that could happen that could lead to a potential accident that you really have to step back and think about yourself first before you even get in the aircraft. So that's really taught me a skill to really kind of look at everything, not just, you know, the weather, not just, you know, what we're doing today. Do I feel comfortable practicing spins today or whatever, or emergency situations or talking on the comms? Look at myself, you know, personally. How are things going personally? Are things going to be okay? Am I going to be distracted while I'm up there? You know, it's really helped me kind of do some self-organization, which I'm very thankful for. That's a skill that I think will, you know, you'll never lose. And it helps in many aspects of life. So
pilot, the ability to compartmentalize your brain, to separate your, you know, hey, I've got a job to do, but I've had this, you know, family dilemma or something like that. Yeah. And now I've got to adjust to that. That's a whole compartmentalizing your brain. That's like a whole other topic, man. it's huge. That it's a bond-like ability, because the better you are at that. Yeah. You can accomplish a lot of things in life if you can just, you know, have the ability to step back and turn it on and off.
Think about Bond and like how many times he's gotten himself into sticky situations because he was distracted, you know?
Right.
And on the flip side, how such an elite agent he is, because he has the ability to turn off things or to be able to separate himself from things on the outside. So there's a lot of psychological things as well when it comes to being a pilot, making sure you're good to go and being the best pilot you can, because you never know when an emergency can arise. And that big thick book, the FARs, or the Federal Aviation Regulations, wouldn't become that thick if it wasn't for pilots that have gone through situations or accidents or things that have happened before. Like one thing I've learned is every single regulation and rule has happened or has been written because of some type of accident or incident. So that kind of puts things in perspective on like how many things and how many things could go wrong if you're not up to the task or if something was neglected, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about that guy with a bird strike that ends up, you know, landing in the river in New York. Oh, yeah. I mean, holy cow. I mean, who can predict that? You can't predict
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anything else you'd like to share? Because this is definitely a high level bond skill. This is 4 years of your life so far, yes. With more to come.
Yeah. No, I mean, just enjoy the process. I know everybody talks about wanting to get to that captain seat or get to that first officer seats, and they have dreams of flying those big airliners and working for an airline and putting on the uniform and the wings. But you got to step back and realize it's out there and you can grab that, but you got to enjoy the process in between. Remember your flight instructors, you know, remember all the good times, the bad times, and build off of that, because that's what's going to make you an elite pilot, is to take all of those little chunks that you've done through your flight training and hold on to them. You don't want to just rush through, because there's programs out there that could get you your private pilots all the way up to a contract with a regional airline in less than a year. But that's such an intense program. You're literally getting information, you know, drinking out of a fire hose is what the term is. A lot of people
say. Yeah.
And that is, I think, a little bit too much. That's a little dangerous. I mean, imagine somebody just studying nonstop every day and almost feeling burnt out and then going out into the workforce. Like that to me feels like a little bit more dangerous, putting that candidate out there rather than having somebody who takes the time to still be on a good regiment. You know, don't want to take years and years, but take, you know, be proactive and get your flight training done in a certain amount of time, being organized, but stepping back and enjoying the process, because those small moments will, you know, you never know. I'll be flying a 737 one day and all of a sudden an engine goes out. And I remember a time that my flight instructor showed me a skill, and that's going to click because I remember that. And that's going to potentially save everybody on that aircraft. You never know. So always enjoy the process. And on the hard days, realize how far you've gone, whether it's just your first flight or you're working on your commercial license. Realize how far you've come and be proud of that. And the best and the most important thing too, which I struggle sometimes, especially being in a competitive field with my fellow peers at the university, is that you're your own pilot. Don't you ever compare yourself to anybody else, because you have something that is unique to you, and you are at where you're at because of the skills that you have, and you are not them. You've seen Top Gun and films like that where everybody's competing against each other to be the best pilot.
Right.
Reality is the best pilot is the safest pilot. And that's one huge thing that is expressed throughout any aspect of aviation, is the superior pilot is the safest pilot. So just take in all the moments that you can, enjoy the process, and, you know, by all means, if anybody has any questions or if anybody has any, you know, like using this as a little networking tool, because aviation, like anything else in the world, networking is key. Has anything who wants to talk to me about it, just feel free to contact me. I mean, you know, you have my Instagram, you know, YouTube, whatnot, but I'd love to talk aviation just like I talk bond, or if you have any questions on where to go in the field of aviation, I'd love to point you in the right direction. But it's a great industry and a very accomplishing career to get into, for sure.
Thanks for doing this, man. This is definitely a very unique topic and a skill that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of physicality involved, a lot of brain power, and not too many people go down this path. It's one of those, you know, they always give Bond all of these skills. He has such a wide range of skills. And when you look back and you look at all the skills, you're thinking there's no way in hell that somebody could possibly have all of these, because I think in some cases people don't necessarily realize how much really goes into being able to do these things. So thanks for being my first guest whatsoever for my new Bond Super Skills series, man. It was great to talk to you again. And you keep me in the loop when you're in New York, man. Let me know when you're coming.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take a drive up.
Coming soon. But thank you so much. It's an honor to be the first one. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it. And one last thing before we head out. Even though as soon as you become a pilot, you want to pull off a Pierce Brosnan GoldenEye scene, don't do it. The FAA won't appreciate it. The NTSB won't want to fill out the paperwork for the accident. You know, as cool as it was, it was a movie. And trust me, I've heard of people trying to do that same maneuver, and it didn't end well. So we'll let Pierce Brosnan and Bond keep that up during that, and we'll just continue being safe pilots. But thank you so much, Bud, for this. This has been fantastic. Obviously, I'm so excited to hear the rest of your episodes and learn some new skills myself. It's going to be exciting.
Thanks. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Chris, for taking some time out of your day. This is Bud West with the Bond Brain, and the Bond Brain will return.